Blog Talk Radio.
Ohio.
Hello, hello, hello. Only way to start things off right. I don't see anybody in today. I want to welcome y'all to the Tiebreaker Radio Show. We back on air from everywhere and nowhere. So we got some more grand opinionated sports talk. We live. So as soon as we get some lines open, we can bring them here. I don't see nobody in the queue yet. Where y'all at? Okay, we got one on the line, 8627. Your line is open. Introduce yourself.
Yo, 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 what up? It's Tay, sports broadcasting, you one and only.
Peace, brother, peace, brother. 5975, line is open. Oh, speak up now. Ryan?
Oh, my bad. The phone was acting up. But, yeah, this is Ryan, Mr. 33 Yoda, Mayor, a.k.a. the Black Pete Rose. Just got done watching this game. I'm ready to get this discussion started for the evening.
Who won that last one? Did North Carolina pull it out?
Pause. Yeah, they won.
No doubt. 6011, the line is open. Big Mike in the house.
Good evening, everyone. It was very nice to be part of this call. You know, what's going on? Hey, yo, 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 what's good? It's your boy, Mike Holmes, you know, Mr. No Street Cred, AquaMoment.com. Hit me up.
Definitely, Mr.
King of AquaMoment. Yo, peace to y'all, man. What's been good? Anything? Where is... Somebody tell me where Uncle Meech at.
He won't be in until 8 pause.
That's all right. My man told me he had something special to say. So we're going to get it started without him, man. First thing I had on my line that we had on the list today, speaking of my brothers, we're talking about the NBA brotherhood. LeBron James, four-time NBA MVP for the Cavaliers, recently spoke. I guess this all started from a D-Wade pic on Instagram saying brotherhood, hashtag brotherhood. And LeBron James says, we talk about everything. Basketball is one of those things, but what we talk about is classified. He did say, I don't know how realistic it would be to play with Wade, Melo, and CP3, but it would be cool. Man, so what do y'all think about, you know, NBA brotherhood with those four players getting together? Go ahead, whoever want to start off.
All right, well, I'll start off with that. I don't know. I think that it'd be exciting to watch just from the offensive standpoint, you know, as far as what they'll be able to do. I mean, I was all against LeBron going to Miami and teaming up with D-Wade, but I'm not going to sit there and say that Dwayne Wade throwing this type of oops that he threw, you know, on LeBron finishing wasn't exciting to watch. So, you know, I do think from an offensive standpoint, yeah, man, it'd be great to see them all, you know, play together, because it'd be just like watching the Olympic Games, you know, and that's always exciting to see. So I would think, yeah, from that, but then also from the other point, man, it'd be a pretty boring game if you were for any other team other than whatever team that they would be on. So I just, you know, start off with that.
Ryan, what you think? Team up, is that good, bad? Tell me what you think about it.
I mean, I think it was more so like it kind of got blown out of proportion. I don't think it was the same way of like how it was when it was the big three in Miami. I think it was just more so a group of people saying they wanted to play together, and then people made a big deal about it, especially in Cleveland. Like, he could have been saying that they all come to Cleveland. People were just assuming that he was saying, like, oh, this would be somewhere else. It could still be in Cleveland.
So I don't think it's a bad idea. It's just like all of us. If we was like, oh, we were different places in our life, but we want to come together, I don't see anything wrong with that. Like Tay was saying, I do think they will be exciting to watch offensively. I honestly don't think that they would win, though, just because you got two of the guys that are always hurt. And, I mean, LeBron is on the decline, and CP3, I mean, he's still doing his thing, but I don't think that they would win anything, honestly.
Okay, I want to get Mike in and his opinion on this. Mike Holmes, fashionado. You got D-Wade, 34 years old, Melo, 31 years old, Chris Paul, 30 years old, LeBron James, 31 years old, so they pretty much in the time in their life where they, you know, pretty much do what they want to do. They're probably at the hit their peaks. You think that that's actually a possibility? Like Ryan said, do you think that they could actually win? Would actually be good?
Before I get started to answer that question, I want to commend Jonte for cleaning that up when he was his comment paused because about the Miami thing and putting everybody together. But back to what you just said, I want to I agree that they probably wouldn't win because a lot of people on that team, I'm not going to say any names, they're kind of like all about me type of players, type of ball hog players. So I don't think it would work per se altogether, but I believe that them working together would be exciting to watch as far as I feel like it wouldn't be nothing bigger or different. It'll just be more names. It'll be harder to get tickets as far as, like, even the cheap seats would be, like, 150 to sit in Loudville if that was the case. And it would be more – it would still be just like watching the Cavs play the 76ers or Golden State play Cleveland. It'll still be, like, a 30-point blowout. So
you're saying it's basically it would be a star attraction. It wouldn't be nothing like basketball-wise besides the attraction. You don't think it's a winning formula, basically, Phil?
Yeah, exactly. It'd be like watching the Globetrotters. It's going to be entertaining, but at the end of the day, I don't see them, like, winning two or three championships.
I don't know. I think I got to disagree with that. I mean, that's that's too much offensive star power on one team. I mean, really think about that. I mean, Bron, I mean, he can get everybody involved. And that's not to say that he will get everybody involved in there where it'd never be an issue with passing the ball around and everybody getting their, you know, their scoring their points. But, you know, you got to really think about that. Melo, I mean, that dude is an offensive juggernaut. Like, let's be real. If he's not injured, of course, this dude is an offensive juggernaut. Like, he can score. I mean, Chris Paul, he can facilitate the ball. I mean, he can even score. I mean, I don't know. Like, I agree. I always, you know, think team cohesiveness is always going to be a big part of, you know, making it to the big stage and making it to get a championship. But, man, that is way too much offensive star power on one team to not win a couple of championships. I mean, at least I'm sure at least two. I'll be honest and real enough to say at least two because that's how I feel, once again, about Miami. That was just LeBron and D-Wade and Chris Bosh was just way too much offensive star power on one team to have not been able to go ahead and get that ring on that short year. But that was just a small tidbit, short year. We're not really going to talk about that part. But, hey, they got a ring.
So Mike and Ryan, real quick, Ty, I didn't mean to cut you off. But Mike and Ryan, so he telling us, you know, telling y'all why they would win the championship. I want y'all to kind of tell me exactly why they wouldn't win the championship.
Well, the reason why they wouldn't win the championship is, like, I mean, you would definitely have to have everybody healthy, but they wouldn't win it because of defense. Like, Carmelo played no defense whatsoever. Like, he's never played defense in his life. And then also, with all of those people being on one team, that's a lot of money. Even if people take pay cuts, it's like, who else are you going to have on your team? Like, if it was the Cavs, for example, you wouldn't be able to have Kevin Love. You wouldn't be able to have Tristan Thompson. Like, who else are you really going to have on your team that you that could help support you in it. It's not all about offense. Like even Golden State, they're one of the top defensive teams. You got to be able to play defense. Even Miami, when they had to learn how to play defense, the Cavs team wouldn't be able to do that. Not with all those players. They wouldn't have anybody else.
Yeah, I definitely. So not enough defense. Mike, what you think? What's the real reason they didn't go in?
I was gonna agree with what Ryan just said because like two out of four liability when it comes to defense. Then on top of that, who's gonna be a role player? And then at the end, even though they take pay cuts for money to play on a team, I know D Wade don't have a problem with taking less shots. But who is Carmelo or Chris Paul? Well, I know Chris Paul probably understand too, but is Carmelo gonna be able to pretty much surrender is shooting power to LeBron in the knee when it comes down to who's the biggest offensive juggernaut as far as, like, who could take control of a game, and is LeBron going to be able to surrender to Carmelo to take that last shot when he's on and LeBron's not? So it'll sort of be like the first year of Miami where it's like everybody's competing for that last touch.
Okay. All right. So I just want to get Meech in here. It looks like he probably jumped in the queue here. 1229.
What's up, Meech?
Here, yeah, let me in, baby. I'm charged up. I'm charged up.
It's a good night. All right. So, Meech, we were just going over. We was talking about the brotherhood. LeBron, you know, your favorite player. Greatest player in the NBA right now. And he's talking about the idea of the brotherhood. You know, LeBron says, and I quote, "It's not even about sports. It's about being around guys that you don't even have to say anything. You just already know." What's your opinion on this, you know, this brotherhood, this team, even the potential, the thought of it, you know? What's your thoughts on it?
You know, it's LeBron, Raymond James, a.k.a. the King, b.k.a. Colossus James. You know, the champion, you know, two ring. So I want to make sure y'all, you know what I'm saying, give him every credential that he's due. But aside from that, I just want y'all to realize, you know, and just to bring out the point that I think that would be good. I think what he's saying is a lot of veteran knowledge of basketball, and they all have been on leaders on their respective teams. So that way, he's not in a teaching role anymore. It's people that, you know, from. That knows what to do. Now, I do understand.
That's a good point.
But my cohorts have said, and I do agree, that it do leave you scarce to find role players. But I think that because of the core people that you will have in that brotherhood, I think that a lot of aging other stars who still have some talent, I think that would draw them, and that a lot of people would pay, those who want championships would be willing to play there and take less money. And I think that they could find roles there. I think that it would be – I would want to see it because, I mean, the statistics do show that when there's a superpower team, that the league does kind of do better because people hate them or you love them, you know. And that do – I think that would help from that dynamic. I think, like, you see with Golden State as well, like, they're doing well and people hate them. So just that's my point.
That's a good – really good points right there. As you're speaking of statistics – like, even if you count them for what they're doing this year, you would say for them being in, you know, a couple, you say D-Wade and Melo probably not having their best years combined. LeBron, CP3, D-Wade, and Melo have 23 assists, 23 rebounds, and 86 points between them. The 23 assists would be better than 20-something-odd teams in the NBA with just them four. Then the 86 points is average away points for – where I think 2 points less than the average away points for the Philadelphia 76ers. So, I mean, that's great. But, like I think Ryan and Mike was pointing out, does it ultimately mean championship? I do agree with what Meech was really saying about LeBron not really having to take that leader role. You know, peace, good points. But, okay, last question really on that for all of y'all. We'll start with Meech and we'll go backwards. Where y'all think they would go? Would they go to Miami, Cleveland, L.A., New York?
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and say Cleveland. I know everybody saying they ain't a big market, but I think that, you know, LeBron James paid his dues by going to Miami, and I think, and if obviously this is a 2-year window, so I'm thinking that it would be a Cleveland type of thing, just temporary, and everybody would go their separate ways. So I can see Cleveland before any of those other places, because those are big name markets for long lasting type of things.
All right, Mike.
I understand Cleveland on a PR position for LeBron as far as, like, his legacy, because of the letter. If he was to leave, it'll probably look, like, bad on him. But besides that, if you didn't care about that, I would say New York, because LeBron also mentioned that he would love to play at the Garden as a home court. And, you know, it's a very big market in New York. So if they all came together in New York, it would be pretty much phenomenal.
Okay. For Mike, what about you, Ryan? What you think? Where? Miami, L.A., maybe? Maybe Houston?
Honestly,
maybe San Antonio? Golden State?
I mean, honestly, I think it just depends. Like, if it was to be where LeBron, like you said, it's a 2-year window. So if he had no championships, I say Cleveland. But if after the 2 years and he had brought Cleveland at least one championship, I say L.A. This is just different factors on L.A.
I hear you say L.A., but it's two L.A.s. We talking about the Clippers or the Lakers?
I was going to get to that, because we definitely not talking about the bum Lakers. So talking about the best team in L.A., the Clippers. So they would be going out there. They all got homes out there. It's a great market for, like, a lot of the business type stuff that they do. So I feel like I said, if Cleveland got at least one championship, it would be L.A.
But the Clippers, though.
Yeah, the best team in L.A.
But wouldn't that matter?
I put the L.A. Sparks over the Lakers.
I think you're just hating, and you're going to get the mute button for hating. Tay, what you think? Where do you think the Brotherhood is going to be good at? Where do you think they would go if they were to actually form? Like, realistically, man, come on, give me something realistic.
No, I mean, realistic. I mean, I don't see them going back to Miami. Miami was already done. I really don't see them doing that. As far as going to New York, I don't see New York, honestly, even wanting something like that to honestly happen. So I crossed that off the list. Cleveland, I mean, I got to agree with the same thing as far as Cleveland. If it's a championship already won here, then L.A. would be a more attractive spot. But if a championship isn't won here, then definitely Cleveland would be the number one spot over that. But I just want to make one point real quick and go back to this. Ryan mentioned earlier when he talked about, you know, Golden State being one of the top defensive teams. I completely disagree with that, man, because if you look at a lot of these scores with Golden State winning, they're not blowing every single team out every single night. If I just looked at the top defensive teams in the NBA, Golden State is number 20. Out of all the teams in the NBA, Golden State is number 20. So you can't tell me that offensive power would not win you the games and get you to where you need to be. So I'm just going to say that.
Okay. All right. That was a good round, man. I appreciate it. I know everybody got a little, you know, they own opinions on that, and I still feelings because LeBron is, you know, hometown to us. I really think that, for the most part, I don't think it would really have to do with LeBron solely. I think it would be more so towards the salary cap and what the NBA will allow them to do. And what Mike was saying as far as the market, it's two places that it's either going to happen, either New York or L.A. And if it's L.A., it's not going to be the Clippers. It's definitely going to be the Lakers strictly for it because it's the Lakers. They've got that team inside and out from the coach to all the players to put the Brotherhood on the Los Angeles Lakers. Absolutely, the NBA would do that. Absolutely, I think that could happen. Moving on, we're going to go on to the NFL. Last Tuesday, looks like we got 7 new approved rule changes. Y'all help me out with them. I'm going to go through what I got. I think I'm looking at a different article. Number one, I think, was the ball's going to be placed on the 25-yard line following touchbacks and kickoffs for a year. And they're going to revisit it to make it permanent. You get auto ejection suggested by Roger Goodell directly for a person with 2 flagrant or 2 personal foul flags to be automatically ejected. I think that was probably more something that came about during that Odell Beckham and Josh Norman scuffle. The Giants visited Panthers last year. Also, a couple throw-ins. Staffs can now use coastal player communication systems through the helmets, both on defense and offense. That was I think that was temporary. Chop box are permanently illegal. And the pass was the 15-yard extra point line to be permitted. That was revisited from it going in place last year. So of all the new rule changes, I mean, what do y'all feel about a couple of them? Y'all have anything particular y'all think, a help? You know, what do y'all think about that personal foul suggested by Roger Goodell? We'll start with Tay.
I think it'll make the game a lot safer. Keep the game maybe in order. But it's definitely gonna make the game a lot more boring. I don't like a lot of these rules, honestly, man. The two ejections, like I said, man, it makes the game, keep the game in order. But man, it's gonna take a lot of people out of the game who honestly just maybe trying to play hard and not necessarily injure somebody or do something illegal in the league. But
you think that game hyped it? That fight with Odell Beckham and Josh Norman hyped it up?
Yeah. 100%. That's exactly where it came from. It came from them too. So when we think about these players getting ejected from the game, we could thank them too, right there.
Ryan, what you think about it?
I mean, that whole situation is crazy to me. I have a few different things like as far as what I think is wrong with two of the rule changes. The one being the whole kickoff thing. I've never been a fan of them trying to take away a kickoff. It's football. It's a man's sport. Are you trying to take away something that people have actually earned a living off of being on the special teams? Like, games have been decided by special teams. Like, they've taken away things from the tradition.
Desmond Howard, 1997. Yeah. He won Super Bowl MVP being a return man running them two kickoff backs.
Yeah, and it's like, and then like the other rule change that I didn't like is they were talking about how players can get ejected by words and things that are being said. But to me, that's not a good thing to do because I might be offended by a word that somebody says, but this other ref might not. It's not going to be equal every game across the league. Like, one ref might be like, okay, that's too bad, so I'm going to eject them. But the other ref, like, okay, I'll let that slide, but just don't use these words. It's not – it's too much up in the air. Like, it's a gray area, so I don't like that at all.
Meach, man, come on, man. Tell me what you think about a couple of these rule changes. How you feel about that 25-yard line and personal fouls?
All right. The 20, I do just to piggyback, no homo off my other colleague. The 25-yard, I think that's pure another bullshit. People actually, just like Ryan said, people do make a living off of that. But also you have to understand, some teams, that's their advantage. Like, you're not going to beat – sometimes you can't outduel, a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady, But you might have, Josh Cribbs, or you might have, somebody lightning quick, Percy Harvin, as your kick returner. That could change the game just like that. So that's your advantage. Well, I feel like what they're doing essentially is they're wiping special teams out in that standpoint. That's a six-point swing. And then it's like they're taking that out the game, essentially. Like, put it on a 25, people not going to run it out the end zone no more. Because why would you take that hit?
That's
I'd rather
true.
Just be on the 25. So I'd rather do that. Now, as far as that personal five stuff, the only thing that I feel like running, if it's on some physical stuff, don't get too fouled. That's cool. But if it's on words, then you're making the game too mental and too, wishy-washy. But one thing that I don't think people talked about, but that is kind of I don't like a little bit, though, I don't like that the people upstairs can be the ones, communicating with the people on the field. I don't like that. Me, I know he played high school football. I didn't get a chance to play collegiately. Go ahead.
No, I was saying I want to come back to you. I want you to speak more about that. I wanted to get Mike's opinion on a couple of them too. But I want to come back to you and talk about that because a lot of people really talked about that. I wanted to talk some more. But Mike, what kind of rule change? What you feel about a couple of those rule changes? We got 5 minutes, 30 seconds left, fellas. Live.
Okay, yeah, I agree with what a lot of them, well, a lot of the other guys have been saying, like, far as, like, the kickoff. I believe, like, 2 or 3 years ago, they already moved it from the 35 to the 30. So people was already booting it off the field and just to get the touchback at the 20. But now if you're giving it to them the 25, like, if watching some of the games over the previous, like, over the last year or so, you notice, like, a lot of people still don't get first down, so they'll be at the 20 and they're still kicking it, not getting the full 10 yards. So just giving them the extra 5 yards could be a big benefit for them as far as like just the extra 5 yards to get into a better position to get a better kick as far as a punt or whatever it might be. And then as far as the personal fouls, I do believe like this whole words thing definitely falls back on Odell Beckham. And then with the other fouls, like the 2 ejections off the flagrants based off like the Odell Beckham and Josh Norman, but also with the Cincinnati and Pittsburgh game, like just the double fouls with that, it's going to get
them
out.
Yeah, from the playoffs. Yeah, I forgot about that. Good point.
Right. It also takes away key players from the game. So if your key player is like a hostile, like really energetic live player, then, you know, you take them out. That's a key maker. That's like one of your playmakers on your team. So now your team is pretty much falling to being an even player. And then another rule I know a lot of people didn't say, but from what I read from that article, is also like the dog pile, like when the ball is loose and everybody's piling up. Like if your teammates is at the bottom, you're trying to break people up. Like if I pull you off and you feel like I pulled you off aggressively, that could be a 15-yard penalty. That's also another gray area that's a gray area where it's like I wasn't pulling you off aggressively. I was just trying to get to my team player. You know what I mean? So that's also something that I didn't like under the rules.
That makes sense. I want to come back to Meech, man, with that the staffs can use the player coach communication systems to be done. I think it was, again, at least one or both. Tell me, why do you think that that's unfair? Why do you think that that's a bad thing?
I think it's a bad thing. I think because now you're diminishing coaches on the sideline. A lot of this stuff, you know, a lot of those communicate. I mean, everybody's not a head coach or a coordinator. A lot of those people are, you know, they're actually interacting with the players, you know, talking to the players one-on-one. If the person upstairs, it becomes more video game-like, I guess, to me. You know, if you're upstairs and you can talk to them directly, what's the point of the people on the sideline? There's no reason, like, you know what I'm saying, if you can speak directly to the middle linebacker from the top, you know what I'm saying, basically, like, you're playing a video game. It's basically like playing Madden. Like, you're telling them, you're going to play them up there. That's basically what it is. Don't think about it, though. Like, ain't that the viewpoint of Madden, though? It's the exact same thing. Like,
that's
it's the exact
true.
Same thing, and then you're taking away a lot of, like, positions and a lot of jobs. Like, it's more to it. It's making it simplistic, but I just think that it's, I don't know, I think it's a dangerous slope, though. I just think it's, like, I'm just thinking, like, where'd you go from there? So then now, what's going to be the point of having some of those coordinators? Having some of those assistants, what's going to be the point?
Right? That is true. Hey, fellas, we
Very
got two
true.
Minutes left. I think we went as far as we're going to go on those rule changes, man. We got a lot. I mean, a lot of stuff is going to be revisited, too. We probably going to see how it really affects the game once a couple of them preseason games jump off. And then again, something like the 15-yard extra point line, I think that's actually a good thing because it's not always automatic and make you actually have to play. That actually has to count. That 1 point does count. I think most everybody agreed with that one. So,
I've never been a fan
right
of that extra point.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Ryan.
No, I was saying I've just never been a fan of them with that extra point stuff, even moving it back. Like, I don't feel like that was another rule change that's not equal across the board because you got some teams that play in a dome. You got teams that play outside. It's going to give an advantage to people who don't play in cold weather when you got to kick an extra point from so far away, like, compared to another team that don't got to worry about wind and all that other stuff. Like, they're just making too many changes that is ruining the game.
I can understand that. I think anytime you have something like that, professional sports, and you try to do, I mean, you're getting pulled from all angles, you know, publicity, internal, ex-players, and things that are not, you know, going to be towards us or for us, the fans. Definitely understand that. 30 seconds left, fellas. I want to switch over to this last topic here. Los Angeles Lakers. I know y'all can't stand them. but Jordan Clarkson and Nick Young, they got twit picked by a Los Angeles Times or Los Angeles reporter who described in the twit pick that these were two men, two unrecognizable men, that she didn't know who they were. They were making obscene gestures towards her and her grandmother. And I guess she had her sister in the car with her as well. And she took the picture and she was asking people on Twitter to find out who they were. People found out that it was Nick Young and pointed out that it was Jordan Clarkson. So,
bro, that's the 30 seconds right there.
You know, go ahead.
Yeah, it's off air now, but keep going, though. Keep going.
Yeah, I know. That's why I wanted to keep this one going into an off-air one, but it's going to record. So word got back to the Lakers, of course, because it's Los Angeles, and you know you're going to be in the public eye. Twit pick went viral. Los Angeles got Nick Young and Jordan Clarkson into their offices with a spokesperson from the reporter, Mrs. Alexis Jones. They sat down and talked to them. The Lakers were open. They initially released a report the morning that they found out about the news that they were trying to be transparent, that they heard both the parts of Nick Young and Jordan Clarkson, but also were in agreement with Alexis Jones that, you know, being, I guess, chivalrous was a big part of, you know, who these professional athletes were supposed to be. However, Alexis Jones was unable to be available towards them. So, I mean, what do y'all think about this whole fiasco? I know a lot of y'all, I've been posting some of the articles and some of the videos in there. So far, the only real evidence we have is the picture of the guys looking like, I mean, they looking like they're in traffic in a Jeep. You know, we can't really tell what's going on, but we have her comments below it describing what's going on. What do y'all think about what's this whole crazy thing? Is this just a publicity stunt to keep the Lakers relevant? Anybody?
I'll start with that. From what it's looking like, I don't think it's a publicity stunt to keep the Lakers relevant. I think it's more of a publicity stunt on the ladies' end to get her organization or her activist cause more relevant, or it's to protect, it's like a broad, it's to protect women's rights, far as like from sexual harassment. And sexual harassment is such a gray area that, like, even as you can see with what she wrote in her comments and from the picture, like, she considered, I'm not sure exactly what they was doing from the poses that you can see in the pictures. It doesn't even look like Nick Young or Jordan Clarkson was the ones actually making a gesture, if you could pull a gesture, would be the dudes in the other picture. So with that, it's like I think she was reaching more to get her cause out there, because like if you look into her a little bit more, she actually goes on tours and talks about women's right to collegiate athletes. So I think she used that to get a pull on her end, and I think the Lakers kind of knew that. And so when they confronted her to come to her, like, it was a lot of schedule mishaps between all of them. So far as on the Lakers end, I feel like they were defending Nick Young and Jordan, but they also was saying they support her. So they was kind of playing the middleman, but they wasn't really taking either side. And as an organization, I would feel, as far as Nick and Jordan, if that was my organization, I would kind of feel disrespected, because it's like they're just playing the field, far as like, whether are you going to take my side or you going to take their side.
So you think that loyalty is greater than just trying to play that, you know, even though they in Hollywood, you think that loyalty factor is greater than just trying to play it off for the media, right? As a player.
Absolutely. Like, I want you to be, if I gave you my word, I want you to be loyal to me and defend me until proven innocent. Like, just like with the NFL and Ray Rice, they was loyal with him, only gave him two games until they actually seen a video.
Ryan, So what's your opinion on this LA fiasco?
But I'm torn between the two, really. I think it's like a publicity stunt as far as to an extent. Like, I think that the lady, I do think she knew who he was, because you cannot be a reporter and he's from out there. He's grown up out there. You've interviewed him before. He's not a, like, shy little guy that nobody's ever heard of. You know what I'm saying? This is a pretty well-known figure. So I think she knew who it was, but I think by what she was trying to do is, like you're saying, her little organization, she was trying to put a big name to it to really help it. So I think that she did throw that out there, like, who are these guys kind of, so, like, she knew people knew who they were. But I do think that they had to have, I think that they had to have said something. I'm a black man, so I'm a roll with you innocent until proven guilty. But I just don't think that she would jeopardize her organization like that to say that they just did something. I think that they definitely probably did something, because, like, if they didn't do anything, this is going to make her organization look terrible. Like, this is not going to help the cause at all. So I think that something
what
probably did happen.
Okay,
and
but this is my argument. I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. But this is my argument. This is my point. She had. It doesn't matter. She has to take that chance. Like, what if it isn't? It's not about if you right or you wrong. This is. You know what world we live in. It's not what you know. Well, if you're right, it's what you can prove. Right now, she got them accused. Nick Young has a video, you know, of her interviewing him. She did basically a documentary, claiming that she knew him clearly. And people. And this was 10 years ago. She's been a reporter in L.A. like, you know, Mike said, for 10 years. So she clearly knows him. You know, this is not, this can't be something like that she just came up with. She just all of a sudden saw Nick Young again, and he's, you know, making gestures towards his 86-year-old
grandma.
That's what
I'm talking about. I know that she knows who he is. That's what I'm saying. She's using that as far as she knows who he is to throw that out there. But something happened with them, like, for them, and they should, honestly, they shouldn't even have put themselves in, like, a situation. Like, they guess athletes, they should got to be a lot smarter. Something is, they're going to find it when they do the investigation, but it's something to the
story.
So
you definitely think they
did
something?
I don't think that a person would just come out of nowhere with that when they're trying to do their organization. Like, I don't think that she would do something like that, because it's going to her whole organization. If it comes to find out that she did nothing, then people are going to make a joke out of the whole woman's,
right,
you know,
exactly,
movement.
Right.
Let me hear right. Let me hear what you got. I know,
no,
you've been,
I agree. I agree with Ryan. And, no, Ryan opened up a whole aspect I didn't even think about. I'm just telling y'all like this, man. I have 20 years of being in the hood, 30 years of being in the hood experience. I got 40 years of being in, you know, juvenile delinquent experience. And them two niggas is guilty as fuck, bro. I'm sorry to say it. Them two niggas is outrageously dumb shit. If you watch that interview that you posted, them two niggas look like two dumbass niggas who got caught doing some dumbass shit, nigga. And the Lakers is trying to play both sides.
What interview? What video are you talking about?
No, the one that you showed. The video where it's showing them.
The one that you posted.
Yeah, the one you posted about them showing, talking about it. First of all, they look like two embarrassed dudes. Basically, it got out that they did some dumb shit that they wasn't proud of, and they looked guilty, period. That's exactly what it looked like. And they looked like that the Lakers coached them to only say, oh, the Lakers are taking care of it, because that was their core job of even looking like they was like they was not guilty. Like Mike said, and this is true, you know what I'm saying? If I meet, like, you know how we used to play in, you know, the underground and stuff like that. You know, like in Rosie talking to girls. Like the one time I had the one girl saying, oh, I'm a bot. You know what I'm saying? Like, if she would have videotaped that and put that up, you know, like, I would have been embarrassed or something, thinking, like, people like, dang, you played her and stuff like that. Like, these dudes did stupid stuff, and the Lakers trying to cover it up, play both sides, but they make them look bad. Like, if they was not guilty, they would be mad. Basically, what I'm trying to get to, I'm sorry. Basically, they would be mad. Like Mike said, you know what I'm saying? If they was not guilty, why would you allow your corporation or your job to basically make you look guilty? Like, if you know you did nothing, I wouldn't do that. If I know out in my heart that I was innocent, how can I ever let somebody make me look guilty? I would never do that. So I feel like they're guilty, period. you can say whatever you want to say. Yeah, it's true that that lady probably trying to use it or whatever to boost her thing up, but it's two, them two dumb niggas let her. Flat out. Them two dumb niggas let her.
So, Tay, man, what you think about all of this? This you think it is... I agree. I'm not a Nick Young fan of sorts of him, like anything he pretty much does, you know, even basketball wise. Jordan Clarkson is a young man. I kind of want him to do well because, well, damn, he's a Laker. So I do want him to do well, but I'm not sold on his personality as being a, you know what I'm saying, grown man, you know what I'm saying, that's fully who he is. But do you think that this is just some, like Meech said, just some dumb young boy stuff that they really did something, and it just so happened that this lady is taking advantage of it?
I'm torn between the two. I ain't even going to lie, but I'm just going to say it like this. One of the biggest things that stuck out to me about this whole story was that later on, after she had already, posted up the pictures and put up her comments of, you know, about sexual harassment and all of that, and people told and or said to her who they were, she was mentioned that, had she known that they were basketball players or sports players, she would have never said anything, or she would have never posted the pictures. That's the part that pissed me off the most about it, because then that makes your whole organization look like a joke in no matter what, because of the fact that, okay, now you tell them, talking about sexual harassment all across the board, that's your organization about, but then it's okay, and you can omit, you know, what certain individuals do as far as sexual harassment go if they are sports players. So that's what pisses me off about the whole situation and bothers me. It makes it look like, oh, she's definitely just trying to do something to gain some awareness, but she didn't think her whole plan all the way through.
Yeah, and I gotta agree with you. You know, these athletes, they regular people just like me and you. Yeah, they're going to do some dumb stuff. I'm not saying, like, for real, to be honest, as ghetto as I'm from the hood too, like me said, and I've lived most of my life in the hood. I've seen her do some dumb stuff, you know, and justifiably, you know, got punished for it. But two Los Angeles professional athletes riding down in the middle of traffic, gesturing and making sexual gestures at an 68-year-old, you know, grandmother and a reporter. I mean, the picture didn't show anything like that. It looked more like they were looking and peeking into the Jeep. I really don't. I mean, even if they, you know, they might have said something or probably drunk or high or anything, saying something outlandish, it wasn't nothing to say this is sexual harassment. This needs to be pointed out. They're wrong for this. This needs to be something must be done for this. I don't think that at all. I think the biggest part of this story was she needed some attention. The last thing she probably did was the Nick Young story on USC 10 years ago. She needed something. What?
And I'm going to say
everybody
this.
Everybody need money. Everybody need a check.
Yeah, but and I'm going to say this. Like I said, I'm torn on the situation because at the same time, I mean, if we would live in the type of world where we could just literally take this picture and we could just judge everything off this picture, yeah, it looked like they was a little bit guilty of something, but we can't judge off of that. So I'm going to leave that at that. But then I agree with what my colleague Lee said. Yeah, man, that interview with them two dudes, man, they looked like they was just straight guilty, man. They look straight guilty.
We'll agree with you on that one. Everybody's line is open.
Yeah, everything was just a whole with that whole situation, the whole interview. Everything was we're gonna just follow what the Lakers say and play basketball. Like, man, shut up, man. Like, just why y'all even interviewing these dudes, man? Get off the court, man.
That is terrible. Last 2 minutes, I want to say my piece, man. I titled the show "I Left My Bracket in El Segundo." That's an ode to an old Tribe Called Quest song. Shout out to Fife Dawg, who passed away last week. And shout out to my bracket, man, because it was, I gave it resuscitation. It's back to life. I came back on Syracuse and calling, I got Syracuse. You know, yeah, I called that Nova win too over Kansas. Ryan, so what you think about this Final Four?
Man, I think that I want Oklahoma to win. This UNC Syracuse is really going to be interesting.
But I'm going with Oklahoma to take the whole thing.
How are everybody feeling about North Carolina's bid to win it all?
Since we shameless plug in what we called and who we said was going to win, I was going to say I called you North Carolina win that game. Thank you very much.
Good one.
I think y'all all picked North Carolina.